tuned to yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Crime stories in this hour. Later on, we'll hear The Clock from 1948, but right now, it's suspense with the story after the movies. Heard on CBS on December 7th, 1950, Ray Milland stars.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you After the Movies, a suspense play starring Mr. Ray Milland.
I'd been called to jury duty a couple of weeks before all this happened, and it was one of those kind of sensational trials. And the judge told us jurors not to go out in any public places where we might be approached or influenced. So I'd been sticking pretty close to the hotel. So it was a real treat when they said we were free for a couple of days because the witness was sick. Of course, the movies is a public place, but Ann didn't think that would really count, and neither did I. We went to the early show across the street from the hotel and got out about 9:30.
I thought she was darling. I didn't care so much for him, though.
I didn't think she was too hot either. Say, what's the difference, really? The first movie I've seen since the trial started. How about some ice cream?
We got those little cakes at home. Some ice cream might go nice with them.
I don't know if I can go home. You mean this jury thing,
you
know?
Oh, you're free for a couple of days. Isn't that what they told you? Not going to do any harm for you to sleep home tonight.
I suppose not. What kind do you want?
What?
Ice cream.
Chocolate.
Come on.
Well, well, hello there. How are you this evening, folks?
Yeah, fine, just fine.
What can I do for you?
About a quart of ice cream, chocolate.
Right. Say, how's the trial going? You're on the jury, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, I should know better than to ask. Yeah, I bet you we have 5-7 jurors a day come in here from the hotel across the street. Hey, you think you've been on this trial a long time? Some people stay on for months. Well, I'll tell you what I think about this Harmon fella.
I'm not supposed to let anybody talk to me about it either.
Oh, say, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, that'll be 60 cents.
Yeah, I got it, Ann. Now, what did I do with my wallet? No. Here.
That's 60 out of one. And thank you. Well, I hope now that you know us, you'll trade here sometimes even after the trial's over. My name is Adelson.
Well, I'm Mr. Benig, and this is my wife, Ann.
I'm happy to know you. I hope you'll be through with the thing real soon.
I hope so, too. Good night.
Al.
Yeah?
Look what I found.
What?
An envelope on the floor right here.
Somebody dropped something, huh?
Yeah. It's open, too. I wonder if we should, you know, to find the owner. Say.
Hey.
Money, bills. Hey, let me see.
How much is there, Al? Al? How much, Al?
$10,000.
Huh?
$10,000? Who dropped $10,000 on the floor of a drugstore?
$10,000? You mean the envelope was just laying there on the floor?
I almost stepped on it, and then I picked it up, and I saw there was something in it. Al, what should we do?
Well, gee, a thing like this, I don't know what to say.
Well, if I was you, I'd keep it. That's what I'd do. And since it was in my store...
No, we couldn't do that.
Well, I could. It ain't stealing. You found it. And it was my store you found it in.
We better turn it in.
Look, if there's a reward, we'll get together on it, won't we?
There's some kind of a note in it.
A note?
Yeah, in with the money. This is your first half as agreed in... No signature. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Me either. Hey, where are you going with that money?
If anybody comes looking for it, we live on 5th Street, 229.
If there's a reward, we'll see you get your share, Mr. Adelson. Come on in.
Don't worry, Mr. Adelson.
Don't worry? $10,000 is a lot of money.
I said there was nothing to worry about, but I wasn't feeling quite as breezy as I sounded. $10,000 is an awful lot of money. Ann was still trying to figure it out when we got home. One thing I'd always said about Ann, she had a good mind. Now she remembered the note and she took off from there.
Al, Well, it must mean something. It was written to somebody. It must mean something to them. After all, it's $10,000.
Let's get on with the ice cream.
Oh, all right.
Look, Annie, if nobody claims it by tomorrow, we'll put an ad in the paper or something. It's not our worry.
Yeah.
Here, chocolate.
We could keep it, couldn't we? I mean, the law says finders keepers. If nobody can prove it's theirs, we can keep it, can't we? Isn't there a law?
Well, I guess as far as the law is concerned, we could keep it.
Of course, we'd have to give part of it to Mr. Adelson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Al. That money belongs to somebody.
All right. If they claim it, all right. If they don't, well, all right. Why worry about it?
It belongs to whoever that note was written to.
Uh-huh.
Now, listen. This is your first half as agreed in the E.H. business. But if they are not hung up when the time comes, don't expect to get the rest or stay healthy very long. No signature.
No signature.
Al, that last part about staying healthy, that's a threat. That's what it is.
Threat? Well, yeah, it could be.
The man who's giving the money is threatening the man who's getting it that if he doesn't...
Doesn't what?
Al, don't be so dense. Help me a little. Doesn't do what they're paying him to do. It's a bribe. Don't you see, Al, this money is a bribe.
A bribe? Hey, that's right, Annie. You could be right at that.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. All right, a bribe. And it has something to do with something being hung up. If they are not hung up when the time comes, it says. What could be hung up that's so important to anybody? Jury. That's it, a jury that can't reach a verdict. Al, I'll bet that's it. Somebody is trying to bribe somebody on a jury to...
To what?
Al, those initials, E.H., Edward Harmon, the name of the man that's on trial. The jury that you're on.
Gee, I don't know, Ann. They all seem like such nice, decent people.
Yeah, but listen. This is your first half, the $10,000, as agreed in the E.H., that is the Edward Harmon business. But if they are not hung up as a jury, don't expect to stay healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does make sense, Annie.
Now, we've got to call the police.
Police?
Well, sure, we've got to report it right away.
Well, maybe I should give it to the district attorney in the morning.
No, don't you see, Al? You're on that jury. Why, if we delay telling them for even an hour, they may think you've got something to hide.
No, I think I better wait till the morning.
If you don't phone them, I will right away now.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope this is the right thing to do. My name is Albert H. Benig. That's right. I live at 229 Fifth Street. Yeah. I want to report something to you. There's a drugstore on the corner across the street from the courthouse, and my wife and I were in there earlier this evening, and my wife found something. Yeah. Well, on the floor. It was an envelope with $10,000 in it and a note. And we think it has something to do with the Edward Harmon trial. Yeah. No, just my wife. Yeah, she's sitting right here with me. Yeah, that's what I think. You'd be doing me a great favor if you'd... Yes, we'd wait right here. We'd be expecting you.
What did they say?
They said they'd send somebody up just as soon as they could.
Well, weren't they excited about it? Didn't they say anything?
Well, Anne, I guess with people like that, these things are just sort of routine.
That must be them now, Al.
I'll go.
I must say they took their time about it.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. Come in.
Thanks. You're Mr. Benig, Albert H. Benig.
That's right. This is my wife.
How do you do?
No, how do you do?
I sort of expected to see someone in uniform. I should have known, I suppose.
Uniform?
Yes, you gentlemen are from the police, aren't you?
No. No, we're not.
Oh?
You expecting the police, lady?
Yes, we were.
You better not take too much time, Johnny.
I think you people got something that belongs to us. Something you found in the drugstore on the corner.
Oh.
We lost it there. Druggist told us you had it.
Well, we did find something, yes.
$10,000 and $500 in a white envelope.
Well, I guess it's theirs all right, Ann.
Yes, but...
But what?
Well, I'm sure it's yours, but there was something else, too.
We better just give it to him, Ann.
The note. I always said that was foolish.
There was a note.
Yes.
Did you read it?
We glanced through it, of course. We thought it might tell us who the money belonged to.
And it did, didn't it?
No, oh no.
Come on, lady.
Now, wait a minute.
This is a gun, man.
The note told you that the dough was to buy off somebody on the jury of the Harmon trial, didn't it?
You talk too much, Johnny. Come on, let's get out of here.
What's the difference? Use your head. All right, what about it, Mrs. Benning?
How did you know it was in the note?
We gotta know these things. We work for Mr. Harmon. We know you're on the jury, too, Mr. Benning.
Al.
Where are you from, Mrs. Benning? I mean, where do your folks live? What part of the country?
Why, Washington. Spokane, Washington.
All right. Mr. Benning, you go on down that trial tomorrow just though nothing had happened. Anybody asks you about your wife, you tell them she's gone on a little visit to her folks in Spokane.
Visit to my folks?
The case will go to the jury on Friday. If everything goes like it should, your wife will be back here safe and sound first thing Monday morning.
Oh, good Lord.
But you can't do a thing like this. You can't.
Be reasonable, Mrs. Bennick. We gotta. You people know too much about this thing.
Well, we wouldn't say anything. I promise. I swear it.
Now, how can we take a chance like that? Harmon is up for murder. Better get your things together, Mrs. Bennick. Go with us, Sam.
We ain't got all night, though.
I'll take the money, Mr. Bennick, before I forget it. Thanks. I hope you understand our position.
What are you going to do?
Well, obviously, the money went to the wrong party. So we got to use another method. If everything goes like it should on that jury, your wife will be okay. But if it doesn't...
You can't. You can't do that.
Oh, but we can. Saves us a lot of money, too. And, Mr. Bennig, not a word to the authorities. Your wife would make a cute corpse.
After they left, I just sat there. Maybe another guy would have rushed right off and done something. But I couldn't. I had to think. It all happened so suddenly, in less than an hour, the whole thing. And picking up the money on the floor at the drugstore and then figuring out from the note that it was a bribe to someone on the jury of the Harmon trial. The jury I was on. And those gangsters arriving and claiming the money and taking Ann as a hostage for my verdict. The police hadn't arrived. I left home, sneaked out the back way, took the side streets, and went to the office of the chief of detectives.
So you came down here.
What are we sitting here for? Why don't we do something?
Well, we got to know what we're doing before we start doing it. Anyway, from what you told me, I don't think she'll be in any real danger.
No real danger. She's been kidnapped by gangsters.
But why? That's what doesn't make sense to me yet.
I told you, the money was some kind of a bribe. They thought we knew about it.
But you didn't.
How could we? Ann just picked up the money off the floor and...
They said that they'd have her back by Monday?
That's what they said. You can believe them if you want to, but she's my wife.
Okay, okay. What do these two cookies look like?
I don't know. Average size, dark, I think. I don't remember what they look like.
Did you catch their name?
I didn't ask them.
You're not going to be much help for a while, are you? Okay, it's all right. By the way, my name's Dan.
Oh, mine's Al.
You'll probably be seeing quite a lot of me in the next day or two, so we might as well get acquainted. And, Al.
Yeah.
Take it easy. We'll find your wife.
His being friendly like that made me feel a lot better. But we still weren't doing anything. First, he got out a lot of pictures, and I had to go through all those. But, of course, I couldn't recognize anybody. And then he started making phone calls. That didn't make much sense to me either. Except that he figured they might have a stolen car, and he was trying to check on it. Finally, he called a police car, and we drove back toward the courthouse. It was 12 o'clock, but Mr. Adelson hadn't left the store. He was anxious enough to talk, but it didn't look as though he was going to get us anyplace.
I tell you, Lieutenant, it was right there on the floor. Right there.
Yeah, but when you talked to these two men...
Oh, yes. Well, I talked to them. The one, that is. And he said he'd lost an envelope, he thought, in my store. And
yeah.
I said, yes, we'd found it, and Mr. Bennig had it.
So you talked to him. What did they look like?
Well, now, how can I know what they look like when they called me on the telephone?
Okay. I guess that's all, Mr. Adelson.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant. I wish I could help
that's
you.
That's perfectly all right.
But if there's anything else that you
We'll think call of... you.
Hey, Mr. Bennett.
Yeah?
Did you tell him about the note?
Note?
Yeah, the note that was in with the money.
So there was a note?
Sure. In with the money. Wasn't it, Mr. Bennett?
Well, what about it, Al?
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I forgot. We drove back to Fifth Street and parked in front of our apartment. Dan didn't say a word until we got into the elevator. And then he spoke to the elevator boy, not to me.
You take Mrs. Benig and a couple of men down tonight about 10:30.
Yeah, that's right. Police?
Mm-hmm. What'd they look like?
Well, I couldn't really tell you. They had their hats pulled down, sort of. One was tall, and the other was short. That's about all I noticed. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah?
The tall one had kind of a limp. He had a cane.
A limp, huh? You hear any names?
Yeah, now that you speak of it, the short one called the tall one Johnny. Funny, I didn't think of it.
The tall one and the short one, and the tall one's name was Johnny, and he had a limp.
But that breaks the case wide open, huh?
Yeah, I'll see that you get a citation.
We got off at my floor, and I opened up the apartment, and we went in. And he still didn't say anything. He prowled around the apartment, poking into bureaus and closets, but not saying a word. Then he came out in the living room and sat down in the big armchair and looked straight at me.
All right, Al. What about the note?
Well, I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't think it was important. You're not sore, are you?
Me? What have I got to be sore about it? Your wife.
Yeah. And I'm sorry.
Now, what about the note?
Well, all it said was something like, this is the first half as we agreed and no signature.
Have you got it?
No. They took it when they took the money.
And you couldn't remember that one was a tall guy and the other was a short guy and that the tall guy's name was Johnny?
But I was all upset. I didn't even know if I heard his name.
Are you trying to protect her, Al?
No. I've told you everything I can.
Okay, forget it. And let's see. A bribe. That means that somebody wants something or is on the spot. The fix will be on by Monday, they say. Now, who is there in this town that employs gunsels that would have a deal worth that much dough set for next Monday?
Oh, there could be a million deals like that.
Quiet. Let me think a minute, will you? Johnny, a cane, and a short guy. It's on the tip of my tongue. And it wasn't so long ago, either. Sure. Why didn't I think of it?
Think of what?
Bill Quinlan, the defense lawyer in the Harmon case. Those are his boys. Had him up a dozen times. He always comes and gets him off.
The Harmon trial?
Yeah, this Harmon is up on a murder rap. A bank robbery, a guard was killed. His lawyer's Bill Quinlan. Quinlan's bribed more juries than I got hairs on my head, if you could ever prove it. Get a couple of hung juries and they let you off the hook. He's pulled it plenty of times.
Well, isn't that a little far-fetched?
Yeah, it's like I say, Al. It's all we've got. I'll have the boys check the jury list anyway. Where's your phone?
In there. Dan.
Yeah?
Dan, I'm on that jury.
Oh, what?
Well, don't you see? If I opened my mouth, they'd kill her. They told me so.
So that's it.
I didn't dare tell you, Dan. I hoped you'd find her
Why,
without...
Why, you long-legged, thick-headed idiot. Don't you think I've been in this business long enough to know it a little better than you do? Don't you think I know how to give people protection when I have to? Do you think we go around trying to get people killed? Do you know any more that you haven't told me?
No.
You know who the juror is they're trying to bribe?
Nope.
Yeah, okay. At least now we know where to start looking.
Dan.
Yeah?
You're not sore at me, are you?
Me? No. What have I got to be sore about?
We knew where to start looking, but it wasn't as easy as that. I was still on the jury, of course, and they didn't dare make a move against Harmon because of Ann. The case went to the jury Friday, and there was still no word of her. And, of course, I had to vote not guilty. They understood that. But as it turned out, the vote was 8-4, so it didn't really matter. With a hung jury, Harmon was scheduled for a new trial anyway. By now, it was Monday, the day Ann was supposed to return. But there was no word. What if they'd found out the police knew I was on the jury? It was nearly midnight when Dan came to the apartment. He looked as though he hadn't slept for 3 days. I hadn't either. He told me to come along with him. He didn't say much until we were way down on Avenue C in the Lower East Side.
Don't let it get out, fella, but I think we're going to come out all right.
When'd you find out?
About an hour ago. We trailed Harmon. That's why he got bail.
Dan, Don't kid me. Are you sure that she's...
As sure as we can be. We know where they are. She'll be there. Now, that's the place. Third house down. Ellis.
All right.
You and Wilson stake out the back.
Okay.
Farley, Edwards, take the front. I'm going in. All right, get going.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Dan.
Yeah.
I want to go with you.
No, you stay in the car.
I'm going with you.
Okay, come on. Now, let's go. Now, there's a light in the front. They may give us a little reception, Al.
They wouldn't do anything to her. Would they, Dan?
I'll try the door. Yeah, it's locked.
Can we bust it open?
I got a skeleton. All right, close it behind you so the street light won't show us up.
Okay. They're coming.
Now, those are my boys. Let's try in here.
I don't think anybody's around.
Mm-mm. Come on.
Maybe they took us someplace else.
Shh. Quiet. No, Al. You better stay out.
Why? What is it? What is it?
It's her, Al. Your wife. She's dead.
She was dead. And the next day there was the funeral. A lot of friends came around and shook hands and looked at me sad. And I stood by where she was lying with all the flowers around her. This wasn't the way it was supposed to work out. Dan came too. For a long time he stood there, looking at her and my friends and me.
You called them, didn't you?
I called them? Yeah.
You called them and she thought you were calling the police. That's why the police never showed up.
I called them. She was so insistent I had to call somebody. I didn't think they'd take her away. I thought they'd just take the money and leave, forget the whole thing. But they took her, too.
What about the money?
The money they paid me for the trial?
The money for the trial, the $10,000.
I told you. They took it. They took the money and they took her. All except $500. I kept that in my pocket. They didn't get that. That's what I paid for the funeral with.
I know. We had the numbers of the bills when we picked them up later last night. They had it all except $500. That's what brought me back to you.
It's funny. I did it for her. To buy her nice things. And all I bought her was a funeral.
Say goodbye, Al. You'll have to come with me.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Ray Milland.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 7th, 1950 on CBS. That story from Jack Finney would be repeated again in September of 1959. You're listening to An Hour of Crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In the previous broadcast of Suspense, we heard Kathy Lewis portray the female lead alongside Ray Milland, and she'll do the same in this next episode of The Clock. From ABC, this episode called Nikki, from March 4th, 1948.
The Clock. Sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time. American Broadcasting Company presents another in a series of dramatic programs, The Clock. From Hollywood, The Clock stars Kathy and Elliot Lewis, the airwaves' most distinguished acting couple, and is produced and directed by radio's master of the art of suspense, William Spear. The meaning and value of time appears to vary according to age. For the infant, time is merely an unnecessary interval between feedings. For the child, it is an impatient interlude which he must tolerate before growing up. The young man looks at time as a series of steps which will lead him to success. The aged remember it with affection and sometimes regret. Time fills an important niche in the lives of every one of us, and it can only be ignored and forgotten by the dead.
Good evening, madam.
Good evening.
May I help you?
Yes, I want to buy a coffin.
If you'll step this way, we have a large selection.
I want a good one. Comfortable inside. It's for my husband.
I see. Well, we don't usually sell our caskets without taking over all other arrangements on behalf of the bereaved.
When the time comes, you'll take charge. It's all right with me.
When the time comes, madam.
This looks like a good one. What's the price?
The price is included in the overall amount of the entire funeral.
Satin is nice. You'll like it in here.
The casket is a strong one, completely airtight.
Airtight?
Oh, yes, madam.
That's no good.
Oh, but all our caskets are airtight, madam.
You can drill some holes in this one, can't you?
Really, madam, I'm afraid this is all very irregular.
I'm Mrs. Nikki Kane.
Oh. Well, in that case, surely...
All his life, he's been afraid of being buried alive, suffocating in an airtight box. He made me promise that he'd be buried in one that would let him breathe.
Breathe, madam?
That's the way he is. And I want to do it the way I promised.
We'll drill three holes in the lid on top, if you wish.
You won't forget.
You can rely on it, madam.
One thing more. He doesn't want to be embalmed. You bring him down here to your place as is. Don't touch him.
Are you sure?
You want the business, mister?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Then do as I say. You pick him up and bring him here. I'll bury him myself.
When should we call for the deceased, madam?
Next Tuesday. Midnight.
But that's 5 days from now.
He won't be dead until then.
And where shall we call?
Death House. State prison. My husband's getting a chair. For murder.
Hello, Lou. Did you, arrange for the coffin?
Yeah, I did everything you said.
Then leave the rest to me.
You're smart, Slade. I'm dependent on you.
I bribed a trustee to drug the prison doctor.
Yeah.
He'll be unconscious in his quarters from 10 until 2. I'll arrive at the prison at 11 and say he called me to take his place. I've done it for him before, you see.
Yeah. What about the chair?
I'll be the last to examine the electrodes. I'll have a small wire clipper in my hand. The current won't reach him, Lou.
Do you think we can get away with it?
Well, with any kind of a break and a little luck. When are you seeing him?
Tomorrow. For the last time.
I want to make sure he knows just what to do.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know. Yes?
You don't remember me, do you, Mrs. Kane? Well, it's the penalty of our profession. When people meet us, their bereaved state of mind, their thoughts being only on the dear departed...
The mortician.
Who is it, Lou?
It's the gentleman who's arranging... You know, the arrangements for Nikki's burial.
Mr. Bryce. I take it this is Dr. Slade. May I come in?
Yeah, sure.
It's most fortunate that I find you together.
What do you want?
I've been a mortician, my father before
what
me...
What do you want?
Pardon me. Pardon me for being garrulous. We have time. So much time in my profession.
Lou, did you ask him here?
No.
No, she didn't. I'm here as the result of a rather natural curiosity about an unnatural circumstance. Air holes in a coffin.
I told you why.
But I didn't believe
you. Now, wait a minute.
No, please. I'm not finished. Dr. Slade, What are your plans for next Tuesday midnight?
Why, I think...
I believe, sir, that next Tuesday midnight we'll find you in attendance at the execution of this dear lady's husband.
Why,
called there due to the sudden indisposition of the prison doctor.
Lou, how much did you tell him?
He's been listening at the door.
No, believe me, I wouldn't think of eavesdropping. It's all a simple deduction.
Look, Mr.
Bryce.
Look, Mr. Bryce, I think we can see our way clear to paying a reasonable fee for your time and trouble. And don't forget, after this is over, it will be just as much to your disadvantage to talk about this matter as it will be ours.
That's true. Well, that's so very true. And that's why I've come to you now. Our time is so limited, all of us. Don't you agree? A cliché, perhaps, but so true. Here today and gone tomorrow.
Only 10 minutes, Mrs. Kane.
Yeah. Hello, Nicky.
Oh, baby.
Good to see you.
Hey, you're looking okay.
I got regards from you. From Slade. We've been spending a lot of time together.
He's a good guy to know, baby. He's smart.
Yeah.
Well, this is the last time I'll see you, baby.
Yeah, I know.
Take care of yourself after I'm gone.
I love you, Nicky.
And I love you. Can a guy say goodbye to his wife without some screw listening in?
Take it easy, Kane. I don't like it any more than you do.
Can he still hear?
No. All right, everything's set.
Yeah.
No mistakes now.
No.
Remember, I killed that guy for you. Don't let me down.
Nicky, don't you trust me?
I'm coming back to you, baby. Dead or alive, I'm coming back. I don't go no place without you.
Oh, I'll be waiting, Nicky. I guess this is goodbye.
Try not to cry too hard for me, baby. And don't bury me too deep.
Hello?
Hello, Lou?
Yeah?
Okay so far.
What do you mean?
I mean, okay.
You mean you got him out?
Well, sure. What's the matter with you? You don't sound very happy about it.
Oh, yeah, It seems so impossible. I just didn't believe you could really bring it off.
Well, I did. I pronounced him dead and saw them put him inside the coffin. We're taking him down to the undertaker's now.
We? Who?
The mortician, that fellow Bryce. He was here watching the whole thing. Did you tell him to, Lou?
No. I suppose he just wants to keep his eye on you until he gets paid.
Yeah, maybe.
Did it look good?
Oh, yes. I made sure he'd play it to the hilt. I slipped him a pill just before they gave the signal.
Yeah?
Why, Nicky slumped in that chair like he'd been hit by 10,000 volts. But he just passed out for a while. I felt his pulse.
Yeah. Well, what now?
Well, we're going down to the funeral parlor just to make it look good. Then he can duck out. He'll be there, Lou, inside an hour.
Darling. Nicky?
What are you crying about?
I'm crying, Nicky, what I've been through during the past few hours. Oh, but you're alive, Nicky. They didn't touch you. They didn't even touch you. Oh, come on and sit down. Rest up for a few minutes. You're safe now. You're safe, Nicky, with me.
Did you make any plans?
Oh, no. I just wasn't sure what to do. Can we risk taking the train? Would it be better to go by car?
Go where?
Oh, anywhere away from here. We'll start all over again where nobody can recognize you. There are thousands of places, and I got my things all packed.
Wait a minute. No hurry.
Nicky, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Your face looks funny.
Yeah?
Why do you look at me like you don't even see me?
I see you, baby.
I know we can get a car, Nicky. Slade picked one up for us yesterday. He put it in the parking lot. I got the ticket and the key.
Hand him over.
Don't you think it's better if you stay here and I went to get...
Stop worrying. Hand him over.
Yeah, all right, Nicky. Okay, whatever you say. The lot's on the southwest corner.
The address is on the ticket, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Nicky?
What?
You know, you haven't even kissed me yet.
Haven't I?
Don't... Don't she even want it?
Sure, that little... The phone.
Well, I'm not going to answer it.
Well, go ahead and answer it, baby. Go.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Lou.
Slade. Oh, Slade, I'll never forget you for this as long as I live. You were just wonderful.
Lou. Lou, I got bad news for you, Lou.
Bad news?
Yeah, something went wrong.
You mean they found out? They're after him?
Worse, Lou.
Well, we still got time to get away. We'll be out of town inside
of
half...
Listen to me, Lou. Listen to me. It's finished.
What's finished?
The mortician, Mr. Bryce, just called me. He's homesick.
What are you talking about?
He and I took the coffin to his place, and then I left him, Lou. I was beat.
Yeah, yeah?
Well, it turns out he caved in himself a couple of minutes after I left. Just passed out, virus X or something.
Yeah?
Yes, they took him home right away. He couldn't even talk. So, Lou, his partner took over.
Well, what are you trying to tell me, Slade?
The partner didn't know, Lou. He wasn't in on it. He took one look at Nicky, doped up from the pill I gave him.
Well, what is it? What is it?
They embalmed him.
Simple.
Yes. Nicky's dead, Lou.
Nicky?
What's the matter? Bad news, baby?
Nicky?
Why don't you hang up the phone if it's bad news, baby? Sorry it was bad news, baby, on the phone.
I dreamed it. I dreamed it, didn't I, Nicky? I dreamed it.
Come over here, Lou.
No. No, don't touch me.
Don't you love me no more?
But Slade...
Never mind about Slade.
Nicky, go back.
Go back where?
Wherever you came from. Leave me alone. Please leave me alone.
I don't go nowhere without you, baby. I told you that before.
Please go away, Nicky, please.
This is no way to treat your husband, Lou, not after all I went through. Remember the guy you were married to before you married me?
Yeah, I remember.
I killed him, baby. I killed him for you. And I took the rap without squawking.
Stretch out your hand, Nicky.
My hand, baby?
Yeah, I want to touch it.
Go ahead.
Did you really get away? I can feel your skin.
I'm here, ain't I? What more do you want?
Then you're alive. You're not a ghost, Nicky. You're alive.
I'm here.
Oh, Nicky, what a fool I've been.
Oh,
I couldn't believe
baby.
It, don't you see? Seeing you before and then talking to Slade.
Forget about Slade.
I should have known you'd be smarter than all of
sure,
them, Nicky.
I'm smarter.
I should have known
get
that.
Get your coat, Lou.
My coat?
It's getting cold outside. You might need it.
Where are we going, Nicky?
Remember how we used to go riding together? Well, we'll go for a nice long ride, baby. And we'll see the dawn come up together.
Life is a tour which all must make. But for some, the distance is covered in a shorter time. Although the highway is well marked, the traffic only moves in one direction, and one-way tickets are the rule. But who can say that there has never been a traveler who has cured round trip?
Oh, who is it?
Slade?
Yes?
It's Lou.
Gee, Lou, you shouldn't have come over here. Oh, I'm beat. This thing has knocked me for a loop.
Don't close the door.
Huh? Why not?
I just want it open, that's all.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm full of pills. I'm sorry about what happened, kid.
Yeah. Tell me what happened in the death house, Slade.
Oh, why don't you try to forget about it?
I want to know, doctor.
Well, just before they strapped him in the chair, Lou, I moved over to talk to him as if I wanted to make it easier. He wouldn't let the chaplain come into the room, so I could get away with it. As I covered him with my back, he took the pill.
Go on.
Then they slipped the electrodes on him, and I made a final examination. That's when I cut the wires. A couple of minutes later, I pronounced him dead, and that mortician, that Mr. Bryce, put him into the casket.
Why didn't you stay at Mr. Bryce's until Nicky came too?
I told you, Lou, I was beat. When he called me and told me that Nikki had been embalmed, I got so mad I could have killed someone.
What did you tell Bryce to do?
Well, I told him to bury him.
He's buried. Where is he buried?
Northridge Cemetery.
How could they bury him so fast?
The guy made a mistake, Lou. He has to cover just as much as we do.
So he hasn't buried him yet.
Before morning, he said. He'll have to have him buried before morning. What? What's the matter, Lou? You look like you don't believe me.
I thought we could trust you.
I did my best.
I wonder.
The risk was big. Nikki knew that. Anyway, what difference does it make? It's all over now. But I'll make up for it, as I said.
How, Slade?
Well, you know I've always been nuts about you, Lou.
No, I didn't know.
Ever since you married Nikki, I've been eating my heart out. You weren't for him. He was an uneducated gorilla. How could he know what kind of a woman he had?
Nikki never knew you felt like that, and neither did I.
You know it now, baby. And I would have done anything to get you.
Including double-crossing Nikki?
What? Now, wait, I didn't double-cross
him. No, you bet you didn't.
What? Well, what do you mean?
Nikki's alive.
Alive? Ah, you're crazy.
They didn't embalm him. He got out of that funeral parlor, and he's alive.
But that's impossible.
Sure, it's impossible.
What? Nikki!
You don't look so glad to see me.
You couldn't have gotten away.
No?
Lou, you've got to believe me.
I heard enough.
Don't come near me. Don't come near me, Nikki.
What's the matter? You scared, Slade? You want a gun? Here, take mine.
What do you want from me? Why did you come back?
He came back to thank you for that cross.
All right. I'll admit I crossed him, but it wasn't at the Undertaker's.
Don't be scared, Slade. You got a gun.
I didn't cut the electrodes. I lied to you, Lou. They shot 10,000 volts through his body. You've got to believe me. They killed him in that death house. I saw them do it.
Yeah, you were there, all right.
He's dead. He's dead, I tell you. He's dead.
Nikki!
You're all out of bullets, Slade.
He's dead.
He never did have a very good ticker.
But you aren't even scratched.
He always was a lousy shot.
He stood 5 feet from you and fired point blank. And you aren't even scratched.
Come on, Lou. We gotta be on our way.
Nikki, where are you taking me?
What difference does it make?
Because I'm afraid of you.
Why?
I don't know why.
There's nothing to be afraid of, Lou.
Nikki, please. Please, if you ever had any love for me at all, let me out. Please let me out and go away. Just go away somewhere so I'll never see you again, please. And just leave me in peace.
I ought to. But I don't go no place without you, Lou. I told you that before. What time you got, Lou?
It's nearly 6.
Dawn will come up pretty soon now.
Where are we going? Please, you still haven't told me where are we going.
We'll be there in a little while. How are you feeling?
I'm all right.
Remember this road, Lou?
No.
You ought to remember. We drove out this way the night we got married.
That was 1,000 years ago.
That's how I feel, too. We stopped at a roadside bar a little ways up, remember? It was that all-night joint with the jukebox in the corner. And we danced.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
That's when I told you first that I'd never leave you. That's when I said you couldn't get away from me. For the rest of your life.
And you were right, Nikki.
Lou, how about a drink and another dance for old time's sake? We're coming to it. There's the bar at the end of the road. Let's stop there just once more.
All right, Nikki. Whatever you say.
We'll have a last nightcap together.
join something.
But the lights are on. The barkeep must be here.
He's inside, maybe taking a snooze. We don't need him.
Let's find him, huh, Nicky?
I said we don't need him. There's a bottle on the bar and a couple of glasses. He won't mind if we help ourselves. Here. Drink up, Lou.
But there's no hurry, is there?
We can't waste time. I only got till sunup.
Well, how about that dance?
You got a nickel?
Yeah, sure, I think so.
Stick it in the jukebox. Get something sweet. Come on, Lou. Let's dance.
Yeah, all right, Nicky.
Just like our wedding night.
Yeah.
Remember how lucky I felt when I got you?
You're still lucky.
Oh, no, no, baby. My luck's run out.
What do you mean, Nicky?
I'm tired, baby. I'm awful tired. I only got till sunup.
Why do you keep saying sunup? What's going to happen at sunup?
I thought I was dead. And I didn't mind it at all. Then I heard maybe I was going to stay alive, and that was better. And then Bryce told me. Reminds me, I owe a guy some money.
What?
Sit down here, baby. Stay right here, baby.
Nicky, where are you going?
Don't be afraid anymore, baby. It's going to be all right now. This is Nicky Kane.
Oh, yes, Mr. Kane. I'm glad to hear from you.
I just remembered I owe you some money.
Shall we meet someplace?
Yeah. Northridge Cemetery. You're supposed to be burying me at 6 a.m., aren't you?
Why, yes, yes.
I'll see you there.
Everything goes satisfactorily?
I guess so. You cut the electrodes so I'm alive. You told him I'd been embalmed, so Slade's dead. I guess so.
I've never done anything like this before, Mr. Kane. Of course, I could use the money, but mostly my sympathy swayed me.
That's so.
Yeah, you, of course, inevitably must pay your debt to society, but I could not resist a poetic desire to see that you and your wife spent your last hours together. I suppose I'm being romantic.
Yeah, thanks.
Did you call, Nicky?
The music stopped. Well, come on, baby. We got to keep on the go. It's time we got started again. We're almost there, Lou. We stop on top of this hill.
This looks like...
Yeah. Ain't a bad place as these places go.
It's a cemetery. Why are you taking me to the cemetery?
Get out, Lou.
Nick?
Open the door. Get out. Right over there in the second row. Ground's frozen.
Oh, Nicky.
It's all right, baby. It's all right.
Why did you bring me here?
I told you so many times before, but I'll say it again. You don't go no place without me, baby. We stick together. Always. Somebody sent flowers. That was nice. Did you send the flowers, Lou?
Oh, no.
Must have been Mr. Bryce. That reminds me, I got to leave this envelope for him to take care of the arrangements.
They dug it nice and deep, too.
What?
They dug it nice and deep. Deep enough for both of us. That's good.
Oh, let go of my arm, Nicky.
It's getting to be time. Now, don't be afraid, Lou. Here. Here's the gun.
No. No, Nicky. Please.
Take
please.
It, baby.
No.
You can't
no.
hurt me.
Hmm?
Go ahead. You can't hurt me.
Please. Nicky, please.
Go on, baby.
Please.
There's four shots in it. This time they're not blanks. You got to get me with one of them. Aren't you coming with me, baby?
I can't, Nicky.
You want me to help you? Baby...
First our pleasures die, and then our hopes, and then our fears. And when these are dead, the debt is due. Dust claims dust, and we die too.
The Clock, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 4th, 1948 on ABC. And our time is up for this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. Thanks for tuning in.